Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had a billboard advertisement because of you? Has a billboard ever been created because of something that you might have said or have done? Anybody? That's exactly what I thought. My cousin Julie can say so, though. My cousin Julie is a genius. She got perfect scores on her ACT and SAT and was valedictorian at one of the biggest high schools in the Houston, Texas area. And with grades and qualifications like that, you don't apply for colleges. Colleges apply for you. And as a result, she was approached by more colleges than she could count or number. And so the question for her soon became not, what do I do, but where do I go? They would give her free rides and free room and board. There were great enticements for her to choose those schools. And with that many choices, she was looking for a sign to help her make her decision. And she got one, quite literally. When her family was traveling and doing other college visits, they stopped off on the side of the road at a restaurant at a Cracker Barrel, and as they're in there eating, a team of athletes come in, all decked out in their Houston Baptist University gear. And that was one of the schools that she was heavily considering, and she thought that was rather strange. And when they go back to the car once they're done eating, what's parked next to it on her side? The big Houston Baptist University bus with its name and logo plastered all over it. At that moment, it was clear in her mind, this was the sign I needed. And she later told the admissions staff her story. A few months later, while traveling on that same freeway, she saw a billboard that read, "Need a sign? This is it. Houston Baptist University." And she still claims to this day that that billboard was because of her. Sometimes in life, we need a sign, don't we? We want a sign. We want to know where to go or what to do. We want peace and direction and guidance and security. Need a sign? This morning, you're in luck. In the Gospel of John, we are given seven signs, and the first one is in our Gospel text. What is it? Let's find out. Jesus begins by telling us, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. John tells us the setting, a wedding, and who doesn't love a good wedding? Weddings are fun and exciting, and they're wonderful expressions of love and devotions. They are some of the biggest days in anyone's life. Weddings in the ancient world were a little bit different than they are today. They lasted around a week, and they would have processions and much, much feasting. Weddings were a big deal. And it seems that Mary kind of knew the couple because she was involved with the serving and given authority over some servants. Jesus was also invited to this wedding along with his disciples. At this point in his ministry, it's not the 12, but probably just 6. Most likely Andrew and Peter, James and John, and Philip and Nathanael. But it wouldn't be a wedding if something didn't go wrong, right? When do weddings ever go smoothly? The photographer can come late. Someone can forget a ring. You can lose the flowers. It can be anything, and it's the same here. There's a problem that arises. And what is it? They're out of wine. They've run out. They have no more. And this is a huge, huge issue. Not only was it a great embarrassment, it also would bring great shame to the newly married couple and family. And besides that, believe it or not, potential legal action could have been taken against them. They could have been sued because of this offense. Think about it, getting sued for running out of wine. This is a big, big deal. There's legal action. There is social action as well. This is a big problem. And so when Mary hears of the problem, she tells Jesus about it. And in a sense, it's a little puzzling. What can Jesus do about this problem that she couldn't do about it? You really can't do anything about a problem like this. But Mary figures that if anyone could do anything, it would be her son. And she knew that. After all, his birth was a miracle. She was a virgin. The angel told her she would bear the Son of the Most High God and the Savior. He was worshipped by the wise men, adored by the shepherds, prophesied over in the temple, and impressed the scribes and teachers. If anyone could do anything, it would be him. And his response, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His answer shows that he has a different purpose and interest in mind than she does. But Mary doesn't take his response as a full refusal. She doesn't take it as a no. She tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And the miracle begins to unfold. But before it does, John gives us an important minor detail. He says that there were 6 jars used for Jewish purification rites. The Jews would wash their hands before and after every meal. They would wash anything involved in a dinner, the plates, utensils, kettles, and pitchers. And as a result, the jars they used were really quite big. These jars would hold up to 20 to 30 gallons of water each. And we'll see why that's important in a little bit. And so Jesus tells the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they fill them to the brim. They fill them to the top. And after that, he tells them to draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And then they do, and the miracle happens. They take some of this water to the master of the feast. And could you imagine being a servant doing that? And the master tastes it, and he brings it to the attention of the bridegroom, and he says, "Everyone serves the good wine first, when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This reminds me of the phrase, quantity versus quality. What do you prefer? You know the phrase I'm talking about. It really can depend on the situation. If you're like me, for maybe something like food, you might want more quantity than quality. Maybe for friends, you'd rather have more quality friends than more of them. But the answer to this is pretty situational. And in a perfect world, we really would like both, wouldn't we? But here, Jesus delivers. He gives both. Jesus gives quality. This wine is better than the first. And Jesus gives quantity. Remember the size of those water jars? Jesus makes 600 to 900 bottles of wine. This is no small miracle. This is a huge amount. This is generous. He gives in abundance, 600 plus bottles here. Jesus is generous in this miracle. And John then gives us the take-home point. He says, "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." And notice the language that John uses here. He says, "This is the first sign." In John, there are 6 more, totaling 7, a number of completion. Some of the other signs are his walking on water, his feeding the 5,000, and raising Lazarus from the dead. And at the end of his gospel, John tells us the point of these signs. He says, "Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." But notice that John also calls them signs. He doesn't call them miracles. Signs convey a different thought than miracles. Signs give information. They tell you something. Signs point towards something. They give direction. Signs draw attention, but not to themselves. They're always pointing to something else. Suppose you are driving to Disneyland and you see a sign that says it's 5 miles ahead. When you see the sign, you don't jump out of the car and take your picture with it and adore the sign. No, you keep on going. You keep on driving and seeing where the sign points. Let's go back to our text and see what John does with this sign. Jesus turning the water into wine gave information, and it drew attention. It revealed his glory and drew attention to himself, for his disciples believed in him. But remember, signs do more than just that. Signs also point. And what did this sign point to? What did all the other signs point to? Pointed to a completely different scene. Instead of in Cana, we find ourselves at Mount Calvary. Instead of rejoicing, there are tears. Instead of shouts of joy, there are shouts of pain and agony. We see some of the same characters again. We see Mary and John the Apostle. And we see that his hour has finally come. We see Jesus nailed to a tree and providing abundantly for his mother by entrusting her to the care of John the Apostle. We also see Jesus providing abundantly for you as he dies in your place to save you from your sin and shame. But with this sign, John keeps on pointing. Where does his finger finally rest? It rests in a quiet, peaceful garden. It points to an empty tomb and a risen Savior who gives and lives. Jesus gives. And what does he give? Abundantly, life. In John 10:10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus doesn't just give life meaning and purpose and joy and fulfillment. He gives a life that is enduring and unending. He gives a life that is eternal because of what he has won for you. And Jesus gives grace, God's undeserved mercy and love. In the small called articles, Luther writes that God is extravagantly rich in his grace. And indeed he is. He's merciful towards you and me, forgiving us of our sins each and every day. And that great mercy reveals at the cross also assures us that no need escapes his care. Like Mary, we can bring him every trouble and problem. He took care of our biggest need, sin. And he will be with us and deal with our smaller ones as well. Sometimes in life, we need a sign, don't we? Whether it's where to go or what to do. And in John's gospel, we have 7 of them. And what do they point to? A risen Lord who gives his grace and life abundantly. Who needs a billboard? You have Jesus. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who gives generously. Amen.